You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to this Monday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, filling in for regular host Mark King. Mark has been out and about in the Memphis area and regionally working on various projects, but good news, he will be back for tomorrow's show, the Tuesday edition, and obviously will be filling his regular role going forward. He was gracious enough to ask me to host one more time for this Monday edition, and I'm lucky enough to be here with y'all for today's episode. So we're going to talk about the weekend's game. And then in the second segment, we're going to look into a couple of mailbag questions. And in the third segment, we're going to really get into detail for reasons why the Grizzlies are finding the success that they are at not only being competitive, but now beating obviously more talented teams when they play them in their race to convey. But looking at this weekend's games, and the week itself was just probably one of the best weeks of basketball the Grizzlies have played, I would say, in a few years. Coming off the victory Tuesday night, where Conley had his career high 40 points, we were able to beat one of the best offensive teams in the league at their own game. By the way, please forgive me, I am a little bit under the weather, so just bear with me with the voice if it seems like I'm a bit stuffy. But coming off of Tuesday's victory against the Trailblazers, the Grizzlies were again able to beat a clear West playoff contender in the Jazz, and then also a team in the East with playoff aspirations with Orlando. And really, it's pretty simple as to why the Grizzlies are finding so much success. The depth and the quality of their offense is just on, night in and night out. Right now, Mike Conley is playing some of the best basketball of his career. Arguably, the best three-game stretch of his career has been this week. He is able to match the offensive output of the best player on whoever the Grizzlies are playing, night in and night out. And that is such an asset to have that the Grizzlies have not had, for years. You combine Conley's play with the fact that we have a second guy stepping up each night. And just like I mentioned last week about the Trailblazers, with C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard, the 50 points the Trailblazers get from those guys each night, it sets a high floor. Even if the team overall struggles, that still puts them in a position to win a lot of games, if the defense were to get stops and when other guys start clicking on offense. The same philosophy applies with the Grizzlies. Friday night, it was Jonas Valanciunas who stepped up to combine with Conley for 55 points. And then last night, it was Avery Bradley stepping up to combine with Conley for 47 points. So the depth and the overall quality of the offense is what really is carrying us right now to be able to beat teams that on paper we seem to not match up against that well. Friday night, was a game against the Jazz. Memphis was able to win 114-104. And I mentioned on Friday, I felt that the way that Memphis was going to have a chance to beat the Jazz was to ourselves be effective the whole game on offense, which we were, while also making Donovan Mitchell inefficient. Well, I was wrong. I'll be glad to admit that. But it wasn't Donovan Mitchell who we made ineffective. It was the rest of the Jazz's team. Donovan Mitchell went off for 38 points. It's hard to stop such a dynamic scoring option that Donovan Mitchell is. But what helped the Grizzlies win was the fact that there really wasn't another player who stepped up to the level that the Jazz usually have their supporting cast stepped up to win games. Yes, Joe Ingles had a decent game, but he only had 14 points. But the big reason why the Grizzlies were able to pull off the victory is how well they limited Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors. Favors and Gobert are two players in the post who were playing as well as anyone. They arguably had been the best post duo in the game over the past month. And they finished with a combined 12 points Friday night. Rudy Gobert had an offensive rating of 98. Derek Favors had an offensive rating of 89. Over the past month, they've averaged about 130 offensive rating. So the reason why the Grizzlies were really able to find success was that the Jazz just didn't have that second option to rely on when the ball was out of Donovan Mitchell's hands. It was the complete opposite story for the Memphis Grizzlies. Jonas Valanciunas finally was able to be featured on a consistent basis off of Conley, and he wound up with 27 points. And Jonas Valanciunas did it against Rudy Gobert. He showed just how much of an offensive weapon he can be when he's used effectively. A combined 27 points for Jonas Valanciunas, a combined 55 points between Conley and Valanciunas. Ivan Rabb had a great scoring game off the bench himself with 15 points, and DeLone Wright again showed his ability to produce off the bench with 11 points. So Friday night was just, again, just kind of like that Tuesday game against the Trailblazers. The Grizzlies overall were able to have multiple weapons that they could utilize against a very good team, and that's what allowed for us to pull out the victory, was the consistency of our offense. Shifting the focus to Sunday night against the Magic, the Grizzlies got off to a great start. I believe at one point it was 26-12, and then the Magic started working their way back, and you were just kind of looking at it, the game, you were thinking to yourself, here we go a little bit. The Grizzlies, they never can seem to really hold on to that big lead and just, basically ended early. But Memphis stayed right with them. The Jazz in the fourth quarter seemed to pull ahead, and it seemed like that the Grizzlies really wouldn't have an answer. But then here comes Mike Conley. Just like he did Tuesday night, he was able to put the team on his shoulders and play well. Going back to the idea of the dynamic duo philosophy on offense the Grizzlies are utilizing so well, Jonas Valanciunas did not have a good game. This honestly may have been one of his worst games as a Grizzly in terms of offense, but stepping right up was Avery Bradley. He had 21 points, and it just seemed like that between him and CJ Miles, every time the Magic were about to pull ahead or they seemed like they were really themselves about to deliver a deafening blow, both Miles and Bradley were right there to hit a big shot that kept the Grizzlies going well. Bradley was doing a great job moving off the ball, being able to set himself up for good looks, both jump shot-wise and three-point-wise. And then, of course, obviously, at the end of the game, Conley was able to take over. But it just shows where the Grizzlies are as a team. They are a complete offensive unit, both inside and outside. The bench unit is just as effective against their competition as the offensive unit is, and we're not having any off nights. And that's what depth gives you. If one person falls off, then another can step up. But at the end of the day, the reason why the Grizzlies are finding so much success on the offensive end right now is because of the consistent elite level of Mike Conley. Right now, Mike Conley is playing like a top 5 point guard in the NBA. Mike Conley is playing like an all-star. And we finally are seeing just how well the Grizzlies can compete when they allow for Conley to be able to take over the team, take over the game, and dominate. And that's exactly what he's doing right now. Mike Conley is dominating each and every game that he's playing in, and you are seeing the results that are coming our way. We'll be right back in the second segment of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast with the Monday Mailbag. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name again is Sean Coleman, filling in one more time for regular host Mark King. And as we do every Monday, we're going to dive into the Monday mailbag and got a few questions from the same reader that is kind of interesting. It basically deals with the draft and also with the look of the team next year. And the overall thing to put in your mind as a listener before we get into the mailbag is just how much the outlook for this team has changed in terms of conveying. The wins, unexpected wins against both the Trailblazers and Utah has really put the Grizzlies in a position to where conveying is a reality. Now, they're going to have to continue to win. They're going to have to get probably 5 to 7 more wins to do it, but it's much more likely now than it was 10 days ago, especially with other teams now tanking across the league, not necessarily tanking, but clearly are not playing, on their level to where they're trying to win. The Grizzlies have found themselves in a position to where, as a team that is trying to actively win and at the level that they're playing, Covey now, honestly, in my opinion, seems more of a likelihood than it was. You know, I said 10 days ago, I felt the Grizzlies had a better chance of getting Zion than they had of Covey. But the overall thing was, I said that because no one really expected the Grizzlies to take off as they have over the past 10 days to 2 weeks. So basically with that in mind, the first question from the listener is, if the Grizzlies are drafted in the 4-8 position, do you see DeAndre Hunter falling to them as an option to draft? DeAndre Hunter is a forward wing player for the Virginia Cavaliers, and he's playing some very effective basketball right now. One of the better players in the ACC, also one of the better players in the country, and he has been a name that a lot of outlets have connected to the Grizzlies, especially if we draft in that 6-8 position. And the reason why is this, is because he makes a lot of sense for what the Grizzlies are likely going to try to do going forward. You know, obviously we're going to have Kyle Anderson and we're going to have Jaren Jackson Jr. as the core of our team. They're going to be the two main players on our team at least next year. And they're two players where a lot of their value is in defense. So the idea is that if we can find another player to add to that, another player to really expand that defensive philosophy, it makes sense for the Grizzlies to go after. And that's what DeAndre Hunter is. Do I think DeAndre Hunter to the Grizzlies makes some sense? I do, in theory. DeAndre Hunter is a good defender, and when combined with Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson Jr., that makes your defense going forward into the future. That gives the Grizzlies one of the best young defensive cores out there in the league, in my opinion. But the other part of Hunter's game is just as important, in my opinion. With Jaren Jackson Jr., you have a low post threat that obviously can produce, you know, night in and night out on the blocks. Kyle Anderson, you don't have that much of a scoring threat. You have more of a facilitator and a guy who just plays very smart offense. So you need to surround those two players with shooting, and that's something that Hunter can offer. He's shooting 47% from threes this year. So Hunter is the type of 3-and-D complementary player that makes a ton of sense for the Grizzlies. But while that is a positive, while you can certainly make sense of him being a target for Memphis if they were not to convey the pick, that to me also shows why it's so important for the Grizzlies to convey the pick. DeAndre Hunter is viewed as an exceptional role player. He's not really looked at a guy who has star power. And that's the type of player the Grizzlies do need. They need to get another guy who's on the level of Jaren Jackson Jr., whom they can control for years to come, to really see themselves be successful in this rebuild. And that is much more likely to happen in the 2020 and 2021 draft if the Grizzlies were to convey this year, then really fully commit to the rebuild going forward. So all in all, I do think that DeAndre Hunter is a fit for the Grizzlies. At the end of the day, if the Grizzlies were to fall in that 5-8 range, if that's where they were to get their pick this year, I would not be disappointed with DeAndre Hunter himself joining the team. I would overall be disappointed, though, as to what that signifies. It signifies we haven't conveyed, and it also signifies that the Grizzlies have now taken a player who really doesn't have the projection that even some other players in this draft do have. So, yes, in theory, I can see DeAndre Hunter making sense. Yes, I can see him being a very good complement to Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson Jr., but at the end of the day, I definitely will admit I'll be disappointed if we draft him, because that means that the better outcomes that seem likely now did not come to fruition. Along the same lines of just really looking to fill the roster out moving forward, the same listener also asked, what are the chances the Grizzlies bring back Avery Bradley Jr.? Do you think that they can renegotiate his contract to where he can stay here long term? Let's not kid ourselves. Avery Bradley Jr. Has been a revelation since he's been in Memphis. You know, I spent last Monday talking about Avery Bradley Jr. how he's playing on the court versus how he statistically looks from a distance. And the thing about it is this, is that you can look at the analytical viewpoints, you can look at the statistics all day long when it comes to Avery Bradley. But at the end of the day, he is adding depth and he is adding a layer to our offense that the Grizzlies have not seen in a while. And that's a consistent outside shooter. Do I think that over a season-long campaign he would be able to keep this up? Probably not. You know, he is who he is, you know, nearly a decade into his career. But I think that in terms of keeping him around, you know, long-term, does it seem like it's a reality? Yes, I do see it as a reality, especially if the Grizzlies wind up not conveying their pick this year. I think that Bradley is certainly playing himself into the Grizzlies' plans in terms of, yes, this is a guy who we'd like to keep if we want to be competitive. But kind of like going back to DeAndre Hunter, Avery Bradley is a player who you don't mind having if you're in the situation where it makes sense. He's not the type of player who, regardless of where you find yourself going forward, he's someone that you want to include. So in terms of keeping Bradley around and committing to him for the future, I think it goes right back to what I stated about DeAndre Hunter. I think that Bradley is kept around. I think that Bradley is more likely to be kept if the Grizzlies wind up drafting Hunter, if that makes sense. Because again, it goes back to if the Grizzlies convey, they're likely going to embrace on a full rebuild in order to get that started quicker so that they can get back to contention long term. If they don't convey, they're likely going to be as competitive as possible as they can be next year so that they can convey in 2020. So I think that it's good that this listener tied both Bradley and Hunter together. If the Grizzlies wind up making a pick this year, DeAndre Hunter is a very likely target. And if they wind up picking this year, that means that they don't convey. They're likely to want to be as competitive as possible. And I certainly think the Grizzlies feel they can remain competitive with Bradley having a significant role with how well he's shooting the ball right now. So great questions. You know, it really talks about, you know, what will happen if the Grizzlies were to fall off and not achieve their goal this year. But that's what I think it comes down to. At the end of the day, if the Grizzlies convey, I think the chances are low that we have both Bradley and Hunter here next year with Memphis. But if we wind up making the pick, I do think that there is a realistic chance where you could see both DeAndre Hunter and Avery Bradley suiting up for the Memphis Grizzlies next year. We'll be right back with you to look at how the Grizzlies are being so successful despite their competition over the past 10 to 14 days. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So, what is making this team so successful? What is allowing for the Grizzlies, despite on paper probably still being a bottom third of the league team in terms of talent, play the offense at a level to where they're beating playoff contenders and some of the league's best offenses at their own game? And what it is competence and movement. Those are the two things right now that are really allowing the Grizzlies to step up and answer the call when it comes down to their offensive production. Statistics-wise, the numbers show that the Grizzlies have been a better offensive team. Are they one of the elite offensive teams in the league? You know, no. But over the past 10 to 14 days, they really have been. And when you look at the games, when you look at how the Grizzlies are producing, it's pretty easy to see why. The reason why the Grizzlies right now are producing so well is because of Mike Conley. But it's not just Conley himself beating his guy one-on-one or doing it by himself. It's because the Grizzlies are starting to play effective team basketball, letting Conley work off other players and allowing for Conley to be able to open up options for other players as well. What do I mean specifically? I mean the Grizzlies play off of screens. Jonas Valanciunas and Joakim Noah, you have 40 to 45 minutes each night of an effective screen setter. And it's not just that they're setting the screens. It's what they're doing after that that works so well. When Marc Gasol and Mike Conley were playing the screen game, a lot of times what you would see is those two players up on one, either in a corner or up at the top of the three-point line, setting a screen while the rest of the offensive players were jumbled up at the opposite corner. basically the spacing, the movement, it was not sufficient. It was not, there was not a lot there for the Grizzlies to work with in order to have offensive options. The other thing about it is that when Gasol was setting the screens for Conley, he would stay near the three-point line. And what that meant was that whoever was guarding Gasol would be able to sag down and really limit Conley's options. Not only would it mean that Conley potentially had two people that he had to go against in the lane, it also took passing options away from Conley. Now, that's not the case. When the Grizzlies centers, Valanciunas, Rab, or Noah are setting the screen, they're rolling, and they're rolling straight to the basket. And that allows Conley to be able to have the options to his disposal that he's being affected with. Number one, Conley's floater is one of the most deadly shots in the game right now. It's always been the bread and butter of his game. It's always been his go-to arsenal when it comes to getting in the lane. But now they're starting to fall at a rate that they have not before, and Conley is shooting that shot with more confidence than ever. The other thing that it does is it gives Conley high successful options. There is a high chance that either he's going to get a high percentage shot or get fouled, or he's going to be able to have a high percentage pass to Valanciunas, Rab, or Noah for a highly successful shot. Either it's going to be a layup or a dunk, they're going to get fouled. When the center rolls to the basket off the screen, you then have multiple options that are going to have high chances of success on their shots. Obviously, the other thing that it does is that instead of when Gasol was staying out at the three-point line, when Conley attacks the lane off of a screen, and then the screen setter rolls off of that to go into the lane too, you've got two offensive pieces that are going into the lane. The defense knows that the reason why they're doing that is to get high-chance scoring opportunities, so the defense is going to collapse. But since the center is now rolling to the basket as well, his defender is collapsing down low. That leaves, obviously, the perimeter open, and Conley is able to then dish out to an outside shooter, whether it be Avery Bradley, CJ Miles, whoever it may be. So that's one of the reasons as to why the Grizzlies has become so successful. It's their effectiveness and efficiency off of the screen game and them really being able to utilize all the options at their disposal to have scoring opportunities that they're converting. The Grizzlies are playing as consistent an offense as they played in 2 or 3 years. And the reason why that is due to the fact that they're so effective on the screen game. A byproduct of that also is the spacing that the Grizzlies now have on offense. You know, in the past, the Grizzlies have had their offensive moments to where they've really been able to make, you know, clutch shots. They've been able to make big threes, whether it be Conley, whether it be another shooter, or whether it be Mark, obviously. But now the Grizzlies have 6 to 7 players deep who work so well off each other that spacing has become something of an advantage. Obviously, when the screen game is working, that definitely is a way for the Grizzlies to be able to space out and to have either options that can score in the paint or from three. But even if they're not using the screen game, even if it's ball movement, the Grizzlies have smart players who are able to move the ball around the perimeter or inside and be able to find high percentage scoring opportunities. And what allows for that is that you have scoring options that are effective on multiple levels. You've got Conley, Bradley, and Miles who can shoot the three. You've got DeLone Wright who can sit there and can use the dribble drive game in order to get to the rim. You've got Valanciunas who can really score on the low block. You've got a cutting big man in Joakim Noah that is able to come off of screens or is able himself to take the ball to the basket off the dribble. You've just got so many different looks you can give teams with so many different levels of players. It's scary right now to face the Grizzlies, and that's such an awesome thing to say. But when it comes down to, like I stated earlier in the first segment, the ball movement, the spacing, the ability to produce off screens, and just the different levels of competence now and options that Grizzlies players have, that's what helps contribute to the Grizzlies having either that dynamic duo or that dynamic trio step up night in and night out. Obviously, you're going to have Conley producing as he has, but then if he's supported by Valanciunas, if he's supported by Avery Bradley, DeLone Wright, each of those players has stepped up to be his tag team partner over the past 2 weeks, it sets a high floor. And that's what I'll end with today. The competence off of screens, the spacing, the ball movement, the ability to hit three-point shots. Because the Grizzlies are finally playing competent offense with all those things plus movement, it sets a high floor that is just so nice to see. With the Grizzlies, as fans, we have just, it's been a Jekyll and Hyde situation. We really have seen a team that can play at a high level like it had did at the first of this year, but then the next night can just come so low. We use the term so Grizzlies. They get wins that they're not supposed to, and then just have inexcusable losses. That was how it was earlier this year when we were at the top of the Western Conference. That's how it was a few years back when we were making the playoffs. The Grizzlies have just always seemed to be a very high variance team. But right now, because of the competence of our offense and because of the level that both players who are starters and players that are on the bench are playing, it sets that high floor. And beyond the team concept, beyond how the team is playing, another thing that really is helping out is that the Grizzlies have a trio of players, both starting and on the bench, who night in and night out are going to contribute. You know, as I stated, Valanciunas and Bradley have really stepped up to be Conley's tag team partner. But then you've also got Joakim Noah, DeLone Wright, and CJ Miles, who could come into the game for different lineup looks, who could still produce against the opposition's second units. So what that means is that 40 to 45 minutes a night, you've got an effective big man, an effective ball handler, an effective shooting option. If you can have that on the court basically at all times, that trio of production, again, it really allows for you to set a high floor that even if your defense is struggling or if you have lulls of offense, you still can remain competitive. And if you are having a great night, you can play above your talent level and really start a stretch of being able to beat better teams like the Grizzlies have been able to do this week against the Trailblazers and the Jazz. So, great overall performance this week. Hopefully it will continue as we go into Wednesday and as we go into the rest of our schedule. It's been fun. Hopefully you had a great time enjoying the Grizzlies this weekend. Hopefully I was able to add to that excitement with this podcast. I hope it shines through because just as much fun as you are having watching the Grizzlies, and the fun that I'm having watching them, that same level of excitement is right here for me talking about them with the way that they're playing right now. Thank you so much for joining us for this Monday edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Mark King will be back tomorrow to take over his regular role. I can't thank y'all enough for taking the time to allow for me to join y'all and y'all's Grizzlies experience. Hope y'all had a great time listening today and have a great week. We'll see you soon, and thanks for listening to Locked On Grizzlies.